Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front,
dude. Just make sure to get front of the like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Hey, welcome once again to Beers with the Brewers, recording here in the Land Grant Kickstarter room.
It's November, 1st of November.
Yeah, we got a slimmed down crew this week. Walt, I think he went to pass out Halloween candy.
Trick-or-treating was last night, as the podcast is always recorded on a Wednesday. So we're recording it on spooky Halloween, October 31st.
It's spooky Halloween, but when you hear this, it won't be spooky anymore.
Yeah. It's true. That's what, Walt got possessed too much from last week and just left.
So this week we've got Adam, Mark, and Chris.
Hello.
We did get a weather report from Walt.
It's ugly out there.
Yeah, it's going to be that way, unfortunately, all weekend. We had a nice, clear day Tuesday night. It was fun to see all of the pups come out for the Pups and Pints celebration that got moved from Saturday. Unfortunately, the weather didn't cooperate for our Halloween party Saturday, but it was beautiful out in the beer garden on Tuesday, which is the second last big beer garden event of the year leading up to the Holiday Enchantment, which is going to be December 2nd. So if you clear your calendar out that day, we'll have a lot more details to follow, but that's really that next big event that's going to happen out in the beer garden. Looking forward to it. Really good logo Walt did for it.
Should be enchanting.
Yeah,
we know Captain Beardcrumbs. We talked about him last week. He'll be there, and Santa Claus will probably be there. There'll be some fire and ice.
Whoa.
But not Game of Thrones.
Fair enough.
Tonight, November 1st, Columbus Crew SC made the playoffs on an interesting decision day last Sunday at a very, talking about bad weather that continued on Sunday at that match, but really good showing by all the Crew SC faithful cheering on the home team to a win, and Jazzy Zardes with a hat trick to put the Crew in fifth place, be heading out to Washington, D.C. So hopefully they can continue some of the recent success they've had in the playoffs, and they win that. We'll have another home game, but come on out to the tap room and watch, cheer on the yellow soccer team with the rest of us. Have the match on all TVs, and if you're the first 20 people, you get a free Crew SC can glass.
With a purchase of a glory, right?
With the purchase of a... it just says offering a after that, grab a glory with glassware for $8. So the first,
the first 20
get their glass for free. Everyone else can keep their pint. It's Crew SC Land Grant co-branded can glass. So we came out with
supplies are limited.
Yeah, very limited.
Very limited.
We may have been doing some spring cleaning in the fall and found a case that was a good surprise. So after that, next a week from Friday. So not this upcoming Friday, but a week from Friday, November 9th, we will be re-releasing Skull Session. So that is a fall favorite around here. Last year we did it all fall, but decided to make it a little more special, release it around the Michigan game. So Skull Session slightly changed this year. So look for that lager coming out here Friday 11/9. And we'll have a special announcement here coming up on Monday. So follow our social media channels. We are teaming up with our friends over at Homage and 11 Warriors, who has a blog, to do something fun. So look for that. If you are interested, we're going to be over at the 11 Warriors Dubgate this year, right behind Varsity Club. Details are online at 11warriors.com. We'll be serving Land Grant beer there. I know they got a bunch of giveaways. It benefits Down syndrome research. So we're excited to be part of that. We were part of the original ones when it was called E2 Brutus. That's where Walt and I went and brought some of my homebrew. That was always a fun adventure. And some of the stuff, for some of the first time we ever had other people beside friends and family try our beer, and that was one that led us to maybe we should give this a try. So excited to do that again, and it's always fun to see how much 11 Warriors has grown over the years. They've been great friends of us here at Land Grant.
Cool. Well, we got absolutely no beers to talk about this week other than, hey, I'm drinking a Greenskeeper. What about you, Chris?
Drinking a Batch 300.
Batch 300.
Stiff Arm, of course.
Yeah, you know, we don't have any per se new beers on, but there are a couple new things coming to the tap room. And that is, there is an infusion number on there now. I believe it's going to be tap number
23.
That may change. I don't know. But right. That's going to be an infused beer. It's typically going to be one of our standard core beers or maybe one of our seasonals. And it'll be infused with something. This current batch is a blood orange stiff arm. So keep an eye out for those
Yummo.
For the foreseeable future.
And the return of some nitro beers.
Yes. If we can get nitro to work again, it'll be out. Hopefully we'll have beard crumbs on Friday.
I tasted it, one of the tests that Chris was doing, and it was delicious. So
smooth,
cross our fingers that the new draft system works with nitrogen.
Yes. Smooth sailing.
All right.
So with no beards, we're jumping straight to the question. And we had a pretty big question a few weeks ago that we thought that could almost be a filler podcast episode when we don't have a beer to talk about. And it's from Sam Jackson.
July 12th.
7-1-12.
July 12th, maybe.
And it might be the Samuel Jackson, actually.
You don't think Samuel Jackson could have got his own? He needed the number at the end that... You know, wouldn't it just be at Samuel Jackson?
Oh, it wasn't Sam like Jackson? They had this the year he was born. Twitter's kind of a new thing. Somebody else might have jumped on it.
Yeah, that could be.
You could say, just say the real Sam Jackson.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if someone already had the name, that's what you end up doing. The real.
Well, his question was, why the different glass sizes and shapes?
It's all a sham. The glass manufacturers create all sorts of glassware, and they just force us to buy it.
There you go. The podcast over.
Good episode.
Looking at an angle of like the reasoning behind some of the glassware, there's a lot of tradition involved in glassware. I know, Chris, you're a glass collector.
I am a glass collector. I do.
So it's proper glassware.
Proper glassware kind of would probably be the best way we would want to approach this. So yeah, you can display the appearance of the beer, color, clarity, or in current trends, the complete lack thereof sometimes, right?
Very true.
Foam and head retention. Different shapes hold the volatiles.
The aromas.
Also like can control the breaking out of CO2 or even encourage the breaking out of CO2. I know I've got a few stem Belgian glasses where they're etched or what you would refer to as
nucleation site.
So some of those are intended in the bottom to bring up carbonation, which all those bubbles carry some of those volatiles up to your nose and let you smell the amazing things in beer.
But if you get a glass that just has bubbles all over the side, that means
turn
that
it
is
back
a
into your
dirty,
bartender.
Dirty glass.
Yeah, I always like to say when people ask about the glass, one of the things that my wife and I always joke about, we were actually on our way to go to our honeymoon. We were at the new Goose Island spot in O'Hare Airport, and we were going to spend some time in France and Belgium, and I'd got a Matilda. And they serve it in the...
Great movie, by the way.
The kind of the wine glass that they have, and I just remember the guy going, beer in a wine glass, just not right. That's what he said behind us, and that's been a joke for us, but... You know, as a lot of American beer had always just been that light lager that you just want to drink cold and fast in a frosted mug. It doesn't matter. You're not looking for aromatics and different flavors. You're just looking to drink that. But as people have gotten to beers that have those flavors and aromatics, you want to drink it out of a proper glass, just like you would if you were enjoying a nice wine. You're not necessarily going to go get your shaker pint and pour a pint of wine. I mean, you could do that, you know, if you're drinking some Uncle Carlo or something like that, or some
MD 2020.
That's what you may do. And just like you wouldn't necessarily, if you were drinking wine for the flavor, drink it straight out of the bottle, you shouldn't do that with beer either. You should pour that beer into a proper glass, whether it's from a can or bottle or draft, that is suited for what you're looking for, whether it's aromatics, what you want to enhance in that beer.
Yeah, and sometimes just based on style. I know the the shaker pint that is now kind of poo-pooed in the craft beer industry, and that's because there are so many amazing beers out there at this point, different cultures that have brought those to us, There's a lineage of glassware that's attached to a lot of those styles and regions in Europe that have produced those beers. I think just the shaker pint was readily available when some brew pubs came out, maybe in the late 80s, early 90s.
Stackable.
And they're stackable. They are a pretty standard barware. I think they were more intended for mixing beverages.
Shaking, if you will.
Shaking
things.
And
a shaker.
Yeah. They kind of took a foothold here in the U.S. Craft brewing was kind of getting a bloom where there were some different styles other than just yellow fizzy stuff that you just put in a frozen mug or whatever. It's a little bit more about the liquid in the glass than in the glass overall. So if you've got a glass and you're listening to this podcast, don't be ashamed to
throw it
in whatever you got right there.
And it's really, and you kind of said this, and I know this is what we're going to go through, is if you look at a lot of the large historic traditional breweries in Europe, those breweries have their glass. And they're distinct. You know, you get a Duvel, and it's in that tulip-shaped glass. Even a Stella Artois, and it's
the chalice.
A chalice.
Yeah.
That's part of the whole culture around that beer. It's not just thinking about the bottle that it comes in and the label, and that glassware is designed to enhance that beer as well. So it's paired alongside of it. So when you think about even a Guinness in that traditional tulip.
Yeah, it's been thought out. I mean, there's tradition involved. There's also the mechanics of the beer and what they want you to get out of the beer, whether they want you to maybe maintain some of that carbonation or whether they want you to break it all out of suspension to be able to smell it well.
Sam Adams, you know, they designed their own glass, and you have the Sam Adams Boston Lager glass, basically.
That's one of my favorite glasses.
Yeah, and honestly, go drink a Boston Lager out of the bottle and then go pour it in a Boston Lager glass or go to a place that has them and have one off draft, and it is remarkably different. It's crazy.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I think and then the other, instead of just having, which it's cheap, is the other thing, and Mark touched on that. We do have shaker pints. A lot of people like shaker pints, though, so we do put our logo on some of those. We don't serve any of those at the tap room, but having that your own glass to point to, and knowing, you know, the bartender takes great care in making sure that glass is available, that it just shows that attention to detail and that care for that product more so than just grabbing a frozen mug or any random glass off the shelf.
So can I just, I thought we'd kind of roll through some glasses that a lot of common beer styles are known for that a lot of people might know. And as Adam was mentioning, sometimes not only do they have the logo on the glass, but the glass is actually the shape that the brewery intended that beer to be drank out of, which if you go to some European pubs, it's amazing. Where do they keep all the glassware that you get, you know, when a place has like 100 beers that they have available in a bottle? They still bring every one of those 100 to you in the appropriate glassware, which is baffling.
And they are offended if anyone doesn't.
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't bring in the appropriate? Whoa. Like here in America, you know, you get, I mean, I've gotten a Land Grant and a Budweiser glass before.
Yeah, I always get some when, and a lot of bars, because they just get a case of glasses free, as opposed to that when you order that beer, they'll bring you that glassware with it. They just get, you know, hey, can we get a case of glasses? And it doesn't matter. So they just stock up on that,
yeah,
and
just
grab it.
And I'm sure, you know, somewhere along the line, there's been a Budweiser sort of a Land Grant glass or something. But, you know, that would never happen in most European pubs.
So some of the German, Austrian, or Bavarian glasses that we know fairly well, the Pilsner Flute. And that's something that they kind of came up with, a conical but yet very tall cylindrical glass that would kind of showcase that light color and clarity. The Stange.
Yeah, we talked about that on the 1862 episode, if you go back.
Glasses here. So that's one. We have the 1862 ale. It's an American Kolsch is what we call it here because we use some American hops in it. But it is kind of a traditional beer that's brewed in Köln, Germany, that they have a pretty small 10-ounce glass. They're probably...
Yeah, even eight. Yeah, they have the 20-centiliter and 30-centiliter is generally what you get it in.
That's what you get it in, actually, in Germany, because we wouldn't use the English measuring system.
Yeah. and they just you want to drink it fast. That even though it's an ale, you drink it cold and fast, more like you would a lager. And there's not much aromatics you're looking for. So that straight up and down sidewall, really, you just get the flavor of that beer and enjoy it as the way it was intended.
Should probably keep the carbonation in better, I would think, because there's less you know, surface area actually exposed to the air.
Yeah, I think that's the Pilsner idea with the Pilsner, why it's so tall as well. It's got less escape route.
So you've got the Hefeweizen vase or vase, however you say it, Chris.
I think it has to do with the value. If it's above a certain value, then it's a vase. Otherwise, it's a vase.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. That's
for us laymen, we call it the vase. So the Hefeweizen vase is also very tall and normally is a half liter. And when I say normally, it is a half liter, but some people make a smaller glass. We'll get more into that later.
Yeah, it's kind of like that start of the Pilsner, but then it has that dome on top to really capture all that head that you get from the wheat.
Yeah, nice billowy head.
Aromatics from the yeast.
Yeah.
The banana clove.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we've got that one.
Weizen vase, because you would also serve Dunkels out of that as well, not just the Hefs.
Dunkelweizen or a Dunkel?
Dunkelweizen.
A Dunkelweizen, that's right. Which is also a Hefeweizen.
Yeah, but darker.
How about, I don't even think I'd ever used this word before, but I think it's awesome. The Willy Becker. I don't think I'd ever said that.
What's a Willy Becker?
Tell you what the Willy Becker is. It's a it's got a conical base, shrinking down to a smaller opening at the top. So it kind of goes up at an angle as if it was kind of vase-like, and then it comes back in at the top.
This is where it would be.
And you see this kind of a standard in a lot of Euro pubs.
I'm going to say Mad Tree's glasses at their pub is that Willy Becker.
Is it Willy Becker?
Yeah.
I actually enjoy drinking out of these glasses. They're fun.
I've got a couple of these that are favorites of mine as well. Yeah.
I'd say this would be much better as a video podcast, but we'll do our best at describing.
It would be, you know, as long as we describe it well, and then also, hey, all you kids out there, they've got this crazy thing called the Google now.
Yeah, you can follow along. We'll see.
Man, you can look at those interwebs and you can Google some stuff.
Yeah, we'll link some of this on the website too when we describe this episode. But we need to get we gotta invoke our inner Paul Keeld, so we gotta just paint the picture visually.
Paint the picture.
Yeah.
So how about the Mass, which actually is spelled with that weird German shaped B double S thing, or the Bavarian Seidel? Know about that? That's that huge freaking mug that everybody has in beer halls and Oktoberfest.
The giant Stein mug.
That has optical circles cut into it. They used to be. Now they're just molded that way. But when they figured out these cool little things they could do with glass, thought, why don't we trick those out and bring some more weird light in there to make our beer really look cool.
Traditional Oktoberfest mug.
That is exactly what you would see if you went into a beer hall and ordered the liter mug, or if you were at a beer hall in the actual Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
You would have
Weinstoffen. We're looking at a Weinstoffen.
Weinstoffener. Also known as Weinstoffen.
Yeah. I don't even try to pronounce that.
And then the next one, these beer steins, the ceramic steins.
The ceramic steins.
I love ceramic steins. They are some of my favorite glasses to drink out of. I have a few at home. I have one that is in the shape of a large, portly fellow wearing lederhosen.
Nice.
Got some nice butt cheeks on him. And
my grandfather was stationed in Austria in World War II and brought back some steins I guess he confiscated. I don't know. I never really thought
he found them.
But growing up, they were always on their mantle above their fireplace. And then when he passed away, my family gave them to me. So they are now in my living room on my mantle next to a really cool fox from a fox hunt that they had that he got from
there.
Interesting.
So, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's all different poems on the side and in German and in Austrian, so they're very cool.
Steins are a work of art.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to, well, you ever been to Germany or Austria or anywhere like that where they have the steins and they're very proud of them. But I've been to a couple German fests that are legit German you know, they're selling German wares there, and they are works of art, whether it be poems on the side, just, you know, tapestry type deals. It is awesome.
Yeah. Architecture on display from whatever town they were modeled after. Yeah, that I fall under the same category as absolutely loving Stein, and I like to, which I've been questioned, why are you taking that awesome, cool thing that belongs on a shelf inside of your house outside? Keep the freaking bugs out of my beer. So you're sitting around a fire in your backyard at night, you'll know what's getting in that beer.
It's true.
Keep that lid down, pewter lid on there. You're safe from the bugs.
So as an individual who has probably 300 unique glasses, I'm a fan of using glasses. All my glassware I use, I have a rotation because I couldn't have all of them going at once, but none of my glasses sit on the shelf, and that's something that I think is very important. I mean, if you're not using it, why have it?
And the issue is with a lot of the nicer glasses, they're not dishwasher safe, or if you're not careful in the dishwasher, they break because of the thin walls and different things like that. So a lot of them are hand washed, so keeps you from having to collect a lot of glasses.
Oh yeah. So while we're talking about collections, another weird one, which is the boot. And you see that sometimes, like in novelty stores, like if you're knick-knack shops, if you're traveling.
Popularized by the beer.
Beer Fest?
Beer Fest.
The movie Beer Fest, you're right.
From Lizard. You're right. What are they called? Broken Lizard.
Broken Lizard.
The guys
Lizard,
from
yes.
Super Troopers. But my little antidote on that, when I lived in Madison, there was a bar not too far from one of my friend's apartments. Called the Essen House, right downtown Madison, and we worked with a lot of guys that went to University of Wisconsin-Madison. They'd head over to the Essen House on Tuesday nights. They had half-price boots. So
cool.
Normally, and you'd have to put like a $90 deposit on it because a bunch of drunken college kids with this novelty boot that they would fill up, but they'd fill it up with Polliner or Weinstephaner or whatever, however. And
Weinstephaner.
And you'd play a game where you'd pass the boot around, and if the person next to you finished the boot, you'd have to buy the next boot. So it was... We played it responsibly, though. We all walked home, so...
Booted
Essen
up.
Essen House. Shout out to friends up in Madison, Wisconsin.
So, yeah, that's kind of a novelty. There's a couple theories on how that initiated. Some was just flat-out hazing of soldiers or club members as an initiation after drinking out somebody's boot. Other theories that possibly a general in Germany at some point in time said, if we win this, if we have a victory, I'll drink beer from my boot. So I don't know. There's various folklore attached to it, but it's all dumb.
Belgian glasses.
Hey, Belgian glasses. And, you know, this... I think Belgium really puts a ton of thought into their glasses.
This is where, I mean... We talk about it a lot. The Belgians are really the artists, I'd say, in the beer world. And they do that with their labels. They do that with their posters and whatnot. But they also do it with their glassware that they go way out there.
Such a small country, so many breweries.
Well, you're on both sides. You got the French on the one side and the Germans on the other. So you have a lot of those different influences, which turn into making... amazing beer.
Man, love some Belgians. So starting with the flute, which is almost kind of similar to like the Pilsner flute, and lambics and fruited styles such as like Creek, Frambois, Pesch, fruit beers are known to be in that. The goblet, and that's what you see a lot of, like...
Yeah, Orval has a goblet.
Yep.
Westy... Would that be that? I guess that would be. That's less of a.
A lot of Trappist and Abbey ales.
Yeah,
just tons of breweries use a goblet in Belgium.
It doesn't necessarily fold over. It's more like that chalice as opposed to. That tulip where we get to, in a couple.
How about the snifter? Good beers put in that. Barley wines, barrel aged beers, imperial stouts. Snifter is kind of like also used for like sherry and things of that nature.
What I always think of, and this is how I drink those big beers as well, the snifter, I feel like it should be warmed up with your hand. So
that's a great note.
You put the stem in between two of your fingers and you warm up the beer with your hand. And those are beers you want to, those are sipping beers. Nobody's pounding an Imperial Stout, or he shouldn't be.
So speaking of describing visuals, as Chris was telling me that, he was also moving his hand around just to demonstrate. And yeah, it is kind of rouse that beer a little bit, get some more of the CO2 to break out of suspension while at the same time warming the beer. And a lot of beers, you know, a lot more flavors come to fruition when you have a warmer beer. As it warms up, it kind of changes quite a bit from that first sip when it's a little bit cooler.
Well, I highly recommend doing that with beard crumbs. You get it's good cold and it's refreshing, and but if you let that warm up for, you know, we serve it in a snifter glass, a 10-ounce snifter. So if you let that warm up in your hand, you'll get a ton of more raisin flavors, some dark fruit character. Indeed. I mean, it's a totally different beer, and I think that's super cool.
Couldn't agree more. That is the type of beer that you want in a snifter. The tulip glass, which isn't too different from the snifter, it kind of has that bowl shape at the bottom, also on a stem, and then kind of comes back together at the top for a little more ease of drinking as it goes to your lips. We normally put, and we have these here at Land Grant as well. These are great for saisons. That would be one that I think you would see it in probably the most in Belgium.
Blondales?
Yeah.
You might have one of the most famous tulip-shaped glass is Duvel. That they
Duvel, yeah.
They do a lot of really fun stuff, get different artists to they commission to do the painting for the glasses. So I have a couple really cool Duvel glasses that that are in my rotation a lot.
Now, you know, I've recently learned this Duvel.
Yeah, probably.
It is.
I'm gonna
always called it Duvel as well, but I've recently learned this Duvel.
One thing you'll learn about us here at Land Grant, maybe we don't pronounce things correctly.
We don't
and that's
pronounce
okay.
things yeah. too good.
Too good
here at Land Grant.
Just learned this myself.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Huh.
The tulip glass we use here a lot of times for the American double and Imperial IPAs, and that's a very acceptable glass to put that in, and really showcases it a lot. The French jelly glass is the next glass, and that's just the stock standard plain looking. If your mom got an old glass out of the cupboard, that's what it looks like. One of the most noteworthy and a very sizable glass that has a wit beer in it is Hoegaarden.
Hoegaarden.
See that? Thanks, Adam. That is the true way to pronunciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have jelly in it.
Yeah, and a lot of times lambics, Flanders Red is served in that, and some of that, I don't know if it's just kind of the farmhouse mentality on a few of those styles could be attached to it. Moving on to
the British Isles.
The British Isles. Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of the British Isles.
Here we go.
What are you drinking?
I just got a Franklin and Pub Ale and a standard.
And a proper
British pint glass.
Imperial pint.
Oh, that's perfect. You know, something I notice about that that Nonic pint that you're drinking out of, Chris, is the size of it. So that is an Imperial pint. And a lot of bars that you go to, restaurants, whatever, will serve a miniature version of that.
So one thing that we talked about when we opened the brewery was we wanted to make sure we were serving things in proper glassware, which we also wanted to properly pour that beer, and a properly poured beer has about 2 fingers worth of head or foam on top of it. So a lot of times we keep talking about these shaker pints or frozen mugs when you get and you'll notice this a lot of times, people that don't really know how to pour beer, they pour it directly to the top. And when you're pouring a mass-produced lager at freezing temperatures, there's no foam on that. So you generally fill that to the very top. But just like you wouldn't want your glass of wine poured all the way to the top, because there is a reason you're serving that in the proper glassware so you can get those aromatics, you want that couple inch or an inch of foam or head on the beer. And with that, if you're properly pouring that into a 16-ounce glass,
that's right,
you're probably only getting about 13 ounces worth of beer.
That's
so,
right.
So you're getting gypped, and I always felt that wasn't, you're telling someone you're buying a pint, which is why this is an Imperial pint, because in London, if you're calling something a pint, it actually, and you'll notice this a lot on European glassware, because whether it's in England or the EU, they have measurement marks that you have to pour to as the bartender because you can't, you're taxed on it. So you can't pour too much, too high, because then you're not paying enough taxes. And if you pour too low, then someone's getting screwed over. So if you're telling someone they're getting a pint of beer, they better get a pint of beer.
It would be nice if we adopted here in the U.S. the system of having a line to know where that pour is. Because a lot of times, just based on the bartender, somebody over pours or under pours. And that is a great thing here at Land Grant, that we pour in a 20-ounce glass a 16-ounce beer. So you do actually get the 16 ounces of beer and not just a bunch of bubbles.
And most places you go to, even if it's a shaker pint or, the, as Mark said, the smaller Nonic pint glasses, they're 13-ounce glasses. They're either 16 or 13-ounce glasses, so you may even be getting less. You're generally getting a 13-ounce pour most places you go.
So this being called the Nonic pint, also some people call them the No-Nic pint, and that's kind of because with that bubble up at the top and the upper maybe quarter of the glass, it prevents chipping on the rim, so they don't, when they're set upside down on the counter, they don't flake off and give you a cut.
And the bubble is nice.
Just the worst.
When you look at a lot of the glasses, this is what we talk to the bartenders a lot, where the bubble ends at the top, it's kind of final point. That's generally where you should pour the beer.
That should be all foam?
Yeah, that where the bubble ends to the top, that should be foam. And it's the same way a lot on the tulip glasses and different things like that, that where it starts kind of tailing back in, that's how much you pour, and you'll get your 12 ounces or 16 ounces, whatever your goal is.
Yep. Most, you know, most pubs you go into in the UK, this is the standard. So they have a similar one that is the tulip pint that most people know Guinness to be served in. So that's probably the most prominently known Guinness, Beamish. Those type of stouts that you can get around here, those are traditionally served in that type of glass.
I will say, when I was over in Ireland, I loved drinking all the Guinness that I could handle over there. But it's always very refreshing if you're just kind of popping in. Maybe it was raining outside, you're just popping in for a quick pint. My wife could get a glass of Guinness, which is a half pint. And it's something over there that you can just go in and you order a pint of Guinness or a glass of Guinness. So we go over there or go in and order a pint and a glass, and you come out with a 16 ounce and an 8 ounce.
Oh,
and
I thought that was really awesome. What is the shape of the 8 ouncer?
It's exactly the same.
Okay, cool. So a little mini version. We kind of do that here with the Nonic.
Yeah, pro tip. You can get also an 8 ounce pour of any 16 ounce beer here at Land Grant, and we'll serve it in a Nonic.
Also known as a halfsy.
A halfsy.
Give me a half-sea of Greeny. You can say that at the bar. You'll get yourself an 8-ounce pour of Greenskeeper.
Yeah, or you'll get laughed at. Who wants a half a Greenskeeper?
Yeah. Well, maybe you're trying a few.
As a brewer, we get halfsies all the time because it's hot in the back and they get warm. And although I don't mind my beer a little warm, I don't want it hot.
There you go, Mark.
Ooh, pro tip.
So we got, what about that pub mug?
The pub mug, and that's something, you know, I've got, we were talking about favorite glasses. I've got this old Guinness glass that I've probably had for 30 years. That I still use today. You can't tell it was a Guinness glass because it's from the dishwasher, all worn off. And it's probably not the glass in the best shape in the world either. But for some reason, it's just, I don't know. It's like your comfort go-to. So I'll use that occasionally. And I think I use it when I'm putting it in perilous situations because that glass needs to die.
There you go. Straight from the horse's mouth.
I'm going to jump back a country, and I want to say, and then Chris brought it up too. I mean, Belgium has some very interesting glasses too, and one of my favorites is the Kwok.
Yes, that is amazing.
That's a great glass.
That isn't a glass. It's you can't just have the glass.
It's a
whole
contraption.
You have to have the stand. If you don't have the stand, it's going to tip over. It's like an hourglass shape.
Well, and I think it's, I don't know this for sure, but I think it's a completely rounded bottom.
Yeah.
So you get a stand, and it's probably, I don't know, 10 inches wide by 4 inches, and there's a little cup cut in it that you put your glass in, and then there's a stand that comes up and holds the neck of the glass for you,
and there's a handle on the side,
and there's a handle on
the handle
side
to drink it. So talking about not only having to store all the glasses everywhere, but then have this
wood
contraption
frames,
but that's the you know, and from what I've heard, there's really no reason they did that. They just did it because they could do it. I don't know. Go research that on your own.
Well, the novelty of it. I would guess there's no one serving, was it Kwok?
Yeah.
I'm guessing there's no one serving Kwok that doesn't serve it in that glass.
Yeah, and that's the only reason why you're going to buy it.
That's crazy.
Like, yeah. The first time I saw that, it was Hop Leaf in Chicago. They had it, a really good beer bar there. And then you end up getting it just for the novelty of... I don't even remember how the beer tastes.
It was pretty good. Yeah. I had it at Taste of Belgium in Cincinnati when I was down there for a beer event. And I was like, well, I might as well get this.
They got the glass.
Yeah. And the beer was pretty good. It went well with brunch that morning. And yeah.
So a different way to differentiate yourself, that you're not necessarily perusing all the beer labels like you would in a beer store, but you may see that hanging from the ceiling in the bar and go, what's that crazy thing? Oh, that's Kwok. Oh, give me one of those. Or you'll see someone else getting that at another table, and it'll spark conversation. Good conversation starter.
Coming soon to Landgrant. Crazy glassware with crazy contraptions.
We're going to have to talk to the Idea Foundry about some crazy thing that we can come up with.
Moving on to just newer stuff, and this is something that's kind of a thing right now, is the Spiegel Owl glasses. A lot of craft beer drinkers probably have a set of these home or were gifted a set. A lot of times at the craft brewers convention, they'll give a free set if you attend their class. And why not?
Yeah, shout out to Quentin and Kristen, who go every year to the Spiegel Owl session and wait in line. Because it is probably the longest line all weekend, but they always, at the end of it, little pro tip if you're ever at the craft brewers conference, they have a set of glassware for everyone who could potentially come, and that is not always the best attended, even though the line's really long. So if you wait long enough, they'll give you a couple other extra sets, which have been great Christmas presents for pretty much everyone at the brewery.
I've been a very grateful recipient of such glasses, and they are amazing.
And when you take that class, Adam, which you have, you know, they'll give you, of course, the worst case, which we've been talking about, just a standard shaker pint, thick heavy glass, a lot of imperfections. Then they've got this lead-free crystal, just super freaking micro-thin. And they're not that breakable, I'll also say, for how thin they are.
Speak for yourself. I've broken every single one of my... I probably have had a half dozen to a dozen of the IPA glasses and have broken every single one of them. I put them in the dishwasher.
Adam, that being said, without a dishwasher, you've broken every single glass that we have here.
Sure.
See?
Yeah.
It could be you.
Oh no! Yeah, no. I've had some interesting situations where I've my arm has flung off. Just sometimes the connection from the brain just fires something, and my arm just lets go.
It can happen. So they've got, and they've had some new ones recently, but the IPA glass that Adam's talking about is great, and they'll give you really good, fresh, hoppy beer.
Oh, I love drinking IPAs out of that glass.
Dump some of that in a shaker pint and then also pour it into the Spiegel Owl and just compare. And, man, it stays cold longer because of the crystal. It's kind of got those bubble-like ribs at the bottom that every time you tip the glass, it kind of reinitiates some CO2 release that will keep that head on the beer. They're great. I think it's... It's like one of those things you just have to do at home and find out. It's great.
If you're a beer drinker, you'll love it. You should, like, if you love IPAs, get one of these IPA glasses.
No, I love Batch 300 out of the IPA glass is fantastic.
It's crazy. It's literally like drinking a totally different beer.
Yeah. It opens it up in a different way. It is.
Maybe they'll send us a set because we're really raving about their glasses. Yeah,
Big shout out to Spiegel Owl that's going to send us all of our barware, and we'll make sure everybody.
But yeah, they've come out with a few others. The IPA was the first one, and they did the studies and they figured out what was the best thing, and then have done that with some of the other glasses.
The stout glass, which is shaped exactly like the IPA, except for without those ribs at the bottom. I don't really know one or the other whether that is of any value, but it's great glass.
That's the only one I have left. I have two stout glasses, so I've been drinking a lot of beard crumbs out of that recently. And it's delicious, but I miss my IPA glass. And even the footed Belgian that they have as well from that same...
I probably use that footed Belgian Spiegel Owl almost the most out of those glasses. And then also, and I got one of these as well, the craft pills, which It's kind of similar to like the fluted kind of tall glass, but it doesn't really have a base or a stem or anything, and it's almost got like, I don't know, some kind of weird bowling pin like taper.
How does Pool Party taste out of that?
Amazing. Pool Party tastes amazing out of a can.
Yeah, you can drink Pool Party.
Forget about
anywhere.
So another glass, and this is kind of a go-to for me. Anytime somebody brings me a glass, brings me a bottle to my home and says, hey, we want to taste this beer, and it's one that we're going to discuss and share about, is the TQ. I think those are awesome. And those are kind of a
looks like a wine glass, like a white wine
glass. It's like a wine glass. It's also kind of shaped, you know, as maybe the tulip in Belgium, but it has kind of like some geometric cuts. So they're kind of sharper geometric cuts. But I will have to say that glass is kind of a go-to. You can hang onto the stem. So
it's like an Art Deco mix a white wine and Belgian tulip together.
I would agree. I think they're great, though. And they give those
I will say, if you haven't seen a picture of this glass or haven't seen this glass and you get that description, I don't. That's pretty spot on.
Yeah, I think it's a good description.
But
you nailed it.
Lucky for the three of us here, we have gone to the past couple craft brewers conferences, and that is, they always give you a glass, and I always have kept mine. And
yes. Me too.
Usually it's a footed glass of sorts, but the past two have been a TQ glass, and so it's a 5 ounce pour, I think. So if you do have someone brings over, as Mark said, a beer to share, you know, if it's a it's a perfect glass to
perfect sampling
to,
glass
to sample.
Absolutely,
out of. I always drank orange juice out of the one I had. It was like a footed one. It was like a perfect juice size because I don't want a full
look at
full
this classy
glass
guy. Oh, when I drink my orange juice,
but
in the morning.
I've never done it out of a tiki glass. So
it's a pinkies it's out breakfast.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah really.
It?
Yes.
I don't want to warm. I don't want to warm up my orange juice.
Don't want to warm up your cold orange juice. It's gross.
What that pinky cramp? That's a thing.
That's a thing.
It's a thing at the Benner household.
Yeah, so hopefully everyone learned a little bit about glassware. I mean, there are so many different glasses out there, depending on the type of beer you're going for. But I think you can always default, if you ever have a question, drink it out of a tulip or the goblet. Those Belgian styles are going to be your safest.
I couldn't agree more, and most times... if we're tasting beer around the brewery, I always kind of want to go for that Belgian glass. So I can move it around and see how it tastes, see how it really smells, you know, and holding those aromatics in with the cut of that glass is great.
Yeah, that Belgian snifter is the way to go. That's what what the brewers always taste beer in. We taste the beer every day before it's packaged. That's what we taste it in. And that's what I've always tasted my beer at home in. All my home brews from, God, ages ago. Always in Belgian tulip classes. The small ones are great if you can get a hold of them.
Yeah. Until they invented the TQ and the game changed.
Yeah, and pour your beer in glasses. I know that one of the funny things is a lot with the rise of the hazy IPAs. A lot of them are recommending to drink it out of the can. And I figured I had that accident. I had that accident a couple months ago and then noticed why they tell you that.
And sediment may form in the bottom.
That's that sediment. That non-filter, when you're drinking out of the can, you obviously don't taste it. You don't think about it. But if you're pouring it out in a glass and you're not careful, and it's a lot harder because they're all canned. But if you do look at a bottle like a Belgian, you always see there's tons of sediment in those beers, but you know how to gently pour it. And some people, I don't always like this, but they'll mix
the
up
swirl,
that.
Yeah,
they'll swirl it and pour
some
it.
Some people prefer the swirl
people
to get a little bit of that yeast in there.
I'm okay without it. Yeah, it's surprising out of the can. So
a lot of vitamin B in there, madam.
Yeah.
I'm not
yeast
afraid of the yeast.
Is
I'm
a
not
perfect,
afraid of the sediment.
Nutritional source.
Yeah. I mean, you can get brewer's yeast like pills. At the pharmacy.
Just watch out for that uric acid.
All right. Thank you, Samuel L. Jackson. Big fan of that movie, Snakes on a Plane, and thanks
that's,
a lot
that's
for
Samuel. He's literally in every single movie.
I'm tired of these monkey fighting snakes Monday to Friday.
Monday to Friday.
Come on down here and get your Land Grant University T-shirt and a Land Grant beer. hopefully in the proper glass for you.
Yeah, maybe we'll buy Samuel L. Jackson July 13th a proper Langrant glass. We'll get him a Kolsch glass. Throw that in. Upcoming episodes, we got Skull Session coming up.
It's exciting. Big release next Friday, right?
Next Friday. Stay tuned on Monday with our announcement with Homage and 11 Warriors talking about Skull Session. We've had fun with Skull Session. The first year we launched it, the alumni band came out and played at the taproom. They just
volunteered. That was a blast. That was a blast.
It's been really cool to see how that beer has been received. We, like we said, we had it all year last year and decided to make it a little more special again. I think we all really liked the way that it came out, as we're only a few weeks away from the game.
Oh, the game. Don't even talk about the game.
Yeah, we got to recover. Chris has a smile ear to ear.
Yeah, he's still got that Purdue hat on. He's been wearing that a lot.
Week and a half, but he's allowed to. His team is has stuff to celebrate.
Got that bragging right, that's for sure. What a game. Good
it
job.
It was a game.
Good job.
So if you were eating Ray Ray,
I'd get the fries.
I'd
put them in a glass.
I don't know how accurate this statement's going to be, but also possibly stay tuned for a special Beers with the Brewers that won't have any brewers in it for an after Halloween special.
There you go.
Oh,
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
No one does, only I do.
All right.
We signing off?
Peace out, Adam.
Well, come on down. Watch the crew with us. Save the crew. We saved the crew.
Oh, yeah, they're already saved.
Potentially.
But watch them tonight.
Come on. Chris? Let's win the playoffs.
Let's go get another beer.
Let's win that cup.
Will do.
Hey, make sure to tip your bartenders, guys.
Cheers.
Oh, hey, all right. My name is Walt. I'm going to be doing a little trick-or-treating tonight. This week in taproom goings-on and whatnots, we've got the beer garden out here.
It's almost like Walt was here.
I know.
And, you know, give me a greenie, other things of that nature.